Hey guys, thanks for listening today. Today we're going to explore the idea of church and why church. I wonder if you've ever asked the question to yourself, what is the point of church? Why do we do church? In fact, I ask myself that question all the time, and I'm often halfway through my sermon. I shouldn't admit that really, should I? But sometimes we do wonder why we do church. What is the point? Why have we done it the way that we do it? Is it just an organization? Is there more to it? What is the reason for it? And I find myself asking this question regularly. And I think it's important to ask it regularly, and especially in the last few months when we've had to do church differently. The question of what is church, why is it important, has really resonated with a lot of Christians. And we're sort of looking at significance. Some people have probably thought to themselves, church, oh, I'm not bothering about that anymore. I don't need it. I've coped for 3 months without it. Why do I need it? Other people are desperate to reconnect with their church family because it's been a really, really tough time. So I just want to share today about some thoughts just from the Bible, from the New Testament, about why we do church and what's the point of church. Why is it important? Now, a couple of years ago, I read an article that said something like this, that 20% of people who attend church, who are churchgoers, actually only 20% of them attend church regularly. Most Christians only attend church once a month. And it's become a bit of a trend, which is sort of accelerating over the last few years. And I kind of really believe in church. I really believe church is important. And to quote Bill Hybels, I believe church, local church, is the hope of the world. And I would not commit my life to it if I didn't believe in it. So I'm the converted, okay? I believe in it. But at the same time, I don't always like the way we do church. And I think we need to just always evaluate to make sure we're doing it the way that Jesus wanted. So first of all, why church? And when I refer to church, I want to clarify I'm referring to the people and not the building. Because as it says outside our church at the moment, our church is closed with COVID-19. It says the building is closed, but the church is still open. And we really mean that we're talking about a church. So when I refer to church today, please don't think that I'm talking about a building. If you do, that's completely wrong. And we believe the church, I will show you now. Because Jesus said that. In Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus says this, "Now I say to you, Peter," which means rock, "and upon this rock I will build my church, and the powers of hell will not conquer it." Now the first thing that jumps out to me at that verse here is that Jesus said he would build his church. He didn't say Peter was going to build his church. He said, "I'll build my church on you, Peter, and I'll use you." But he said, "I will build my church." You see, church was Jesus' idea. It wasn't a group of guys coming together thinking, "Oh, what should we do? Oh, let's start an organization called the church." It didn't start like this. It was Jesus' idea. And in fact, the original word that was used here is ecclesia. Now, I know there's a lot of different definitions we can use for ecclesia, a lot of different stories about a group of men who were influential, all sorts of things. But the two main uses of the word ecclesia was meant group or a called out group. It was a group of people. So Jesus said, the church is the ecclesia, is my group of people. I will build my group of people and the gates of hell will not prevail. I will build my church. And the idea here is that he'll build us together to go forward. You know, Jesus wasn't interested here in developing a religious organization. Jesus wasn't interested here in building buildings. He was interested in building a group of people that were going to transform the world together. And that, I think, right at the beginning is what the church is about. It's about Jesus pulling together a group of people who are going to transform the world and turn the world upside down. And that is where we start with the church. It's a group of people. It's not a building or an organization. It's a group of people who are going to bring hope to the world. But that still raises the question. It's great, we're going to be a group of people. But how did the New Testament do it? What are we supposed to do as a church? Are we just supposed to go out and do evangelistic missions? Or how are we supposed to operate? So I want to skip forward in the New Testament to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 25. And this is what it says. "Let us hold tightly, without wavering, to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good work. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. And we don't know who wrote Hebrews. We're not quite sure. We have some inklings who it might be. But all we know was written by someone in the first century. And it's clear that this group, this church of Jesus followers, were the church. And they were meeting together. And this is what it says. Just recap verse 25 when it says, "And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another." You know what? Jesus said, "I want to build my church." And being part of his church was meeting together. You know what? Being part of the church of Christ involves connecting in together. It involves meeting together to encourage each other, to build each other up. This was so important. You know, in the first century, they were having problems of people not wanting to join in, neglecting meeting together. And the writer to the Hebrews here says, don't stop meeting together as Christians. Don't think that you can do it alone. Because we're cool. When Jesus created his church, when he created his ecclesia, when he created this group that were going to transform the world, part of it was fellowship and spending time together. You know, I remember when I was a young pastor, I got sent to visit a lady. And this lady was really encouraging. Every year, she would always write me a card to say, "Jim, we love you. We love the work that you're doing." And she was really amazing with me. But she went through a bit of a low period. And I went to visit her. And she started sharing to me, and she started saying, she stopped coming to church. She said, "Jim, I'm not interested in church anymore." I said, "Okay." And she said, "Well, I feel I can do everything by myself at home." She goes, "I've got Revelation TV." She goes, "I can take communion with them on a Sunday morning. I can talk to God. I don't need anybody else." And I was like, wow. Now, I left that place really sad. The reason I was sad is because she'd given up on church, number one, and I believe church is really important. But the second thing was this. By her cutting herself away from the rest of the church, other young people like me wouldn't have received the encouragement that she'd given me. Other young people wouldn't have received the blessings that she'd poured into my life. And I left that place, I felt sorry for her. But also I felt was being really selfish by her. Because she kept saying, "I can do this at home. I can do that at home. I can do it. I can do." And it wasn't about us. And when Jesus calls us to be a church, he calls it about us, not about me. And when we choose to meet together and not neglect meeting together, we are making it about us and not about me. You know, I'm a bit controversial here, so please don't be offended. If you're offended, actually be offended. I'm not too worried here. But I've met Christians who say, "I can be a Christian and not go to church." You know what I encourage you? Really? Because I haven't met too many people who can be Christians and not go to church. Because often what that means is I don't want to be part of the family of God. I don't want to be part of bigger thing that God is doing. And we've been called to encourage each other. I'm not talking about necessarily always having to go to church on Sunday. But we are called to connect with other Christians. It says here, do not neglect meeting together. You will struggle to be a Christian by yourself. Just look at Facebook and YouTube and you'll see what happens when Christians meet or just by themselves. They get some crazy ideas. We need each other to encourage each other, to build each other up and to steer each other in the right direction, to motivate each other. I love what it says here. It let us think about ways we can motivate each other. Church is important. And if you don't want to connect in with other Christians, unless you're living in a country like North Korea or Iran where persecution is rife, then guys, you're being selfish. Because it's not about us. It's not about you even. It's about us together, serving God together, meeting together. That's what Jesus called us, to be a church together, united. And this is so important for us. So as we're called to come together, to meet together as a church, to encourage, to motivate each other. And Colossians 3:16 says this, Paul says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, so as you teach and you admonish each other with all wisdom through psalms, through hymns, through songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And this continues again about saying was about meeting together as Christians. You know, church is important because it's about Christians connecting together. It's not about a building. We can meet anywhere. It's about the people connecting together. And I love how it says here that it's to correct and admonish each other. As I mentioned before, we're there to direct each other, to help make sure we don't end up being wackos, okay? Who come up with these really crazy ideas. We need each other to correct and say, you know what? What you're saying is not biblical. We're there to support each other and help each other grow. But I also love how it says there about worshiping together, about singing psalms together, about celebrating God together. You know what? There's that real human need to sing. You know, Liverpool won the Premier League this week. And what did the fans go and do? They went out on their streets and they were dancing, they were shouting, they were singing. What do football fans do at a match? They sing. People are talking about missing the whole big festival experience because it's about people singing together. And you know what the Bible says here, that we're called as a church to meet together, to sing songs in the Spirit, to sing psalms, to encourage each other. It's kind of what church is about. Some of you are going, oh, I hate singing. Some of you have loved the fact you haven't had to sing the last 100 days while being in lockdown. But you know, this is kind of important. Being worshipping God and singing is biblical. It's what we're called to do, to celebrate Him. It's powerful when we come together. You know, I've noticed this in the secular world, not just in the church world, that people talk about the power of that big experience when you're all singing the same songs. Guys, if that's powerful to guys who don't know Jesus, how powerful is it when we all sing in the Spirit together, unified in one place? It's amazing. It's electrifying. It is a spiritual moment that I'm sure many of us have encountered God in. You can't do that when you're by yourself in a room. You may have the odd experience, but you miss out the unity of worshiping God with other people. And that's just an incredible thing. You know what Jesus says in Matthew 18, verse 20? He says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them." That doesn't mean, we don't pray by ourselves, because we do pray by ourselves. But it means that there's something amazing when we come together as Christians, when there is unity together as Christians. But when I read what it says in Matthew 18 here about the God Jesus saying, "When they're in your presence, I'll be there in your midst where two or three are gathered." I also look at what Paul says here in Colossians 3:16 about the dwelling, the message of Christ dwell among you. Adam Clark, a theologian, suggests this. He said, "There appears to be an allusion to the Shekinah, or a symbol of divine presence, which dwelt in the tabernacle in the first temple." The idea of let Christ dwell among you. You know, in the Old Testament, the presence of God, with the Shekinah glory of God, the most holy place on earth, was in the temple. And the way that Paul is suggesting here, what Paul alludes here to in this verse in Colossians, is that when we come together as a church, when we worship God, when we come before Him together, united, that is the place the Shekinah glory falls. That is the place the presence of God is. That is a holy place, a special place, a place where we all see incredible things happen. If we're just doing it by ourselves, guys, we're going to miss out on that Shekinah glory that comes from unity together as a church family. We may be able to feel it a little bit by ourselves, but we miss out on that when we all come together. So the second reason it's really important for us to meet together as a church is there is power, God's power and blessing, in meeting together and singing songs and worshipping Him and praying before Him. And the next thing I want to talk about is this. In Acts 2 verse 42, it says this, talking about the early church, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. This verse really, really struck me here. Whilst I was preparing the sermon, I noticed they devoted themselves. You know, they devoted themselves to meeting together. It wasn't like an optional extra. It was something that was really, really important. When you're devoted to something, you're committed to it. If you're devoted to your footy team, you follow them no matter what. If you're devoted to your wife, she's the most important thing to you. If you're devoted to your kids, you do anything to help them. If you're devoted to the church and devoted to God, you want to meet together. You have that desire to do it. And guys, we're called to be devoted. We're called to be committed Christians. We're called to be committed to God's church. It is his family. It is his presence here on earth. You know, when you're devoted to something, it's important and other things get pushed aside, but that thing doesn't get pushed aside. And I believe God is calling us back to say it's time to come back to be devoted to spending time together. It's time to come back to say we're no longer is the body of Christ an optional extra for us. No longer is Jesus an optional extra. No longer is the church's mission an optional extra. No longer is meeting together as Christians an optional extra. Instead of being optional extra, we need to be devoted to it and making it central in our lives. You know what? They were devoted to meeting together. They were devoted to breaking bread and sharing communion and keeping Jesus at the center. And the early church was devoted to prayer. Prayer was important. It was what they knew they were supposed to do. And not just pray by themselves, that's important. But they were devoted to praying together. And that's what we do as a church. You know, I noticed they were also devoted to fellowship, of just being together and spending time together, enjoying each other's company. And guys, I wanna just encourage you. If you feel like, what's the point of church? I wanna say to you today, church is really important. These things are important. The things that are really important, why bother with church? It's a place to teach and grow in our faith. It's a place to worship God in unity, remembering God's blessings come from unity. It's a place to build and encourage each other up. It's a place to be in relationship with each other. Finally, there's an old expression that says this: united we stand, divided we fall. Next time you're thinking, what's the point of church? I want to encourage you, the point of church is people who are on the same mission from Jesus coming together and serving him and going forward, advancing the kingdom of God here on earth. And as I close, I'm very aware that a lot of people have been hurt. And if maybe you've been hurt by Christians in the past and you're saying, I don't really go for it anymore, I want to say this to you. Now's the time to forgive and to move on and to say, God, I'm going to give your church a go again. Jesus has called you to forgive. He says, you know what? I will help you through this. But it's time to come back to the body of Christ. It's time to connect in again. If you're thinking, you know what, I've really enjoyed online church and I think I'm not going to get back to the physical building. You guys, online's great for the time being. But eventually, when the rules are slackened, you know, our church, we're not opening for a few weeks still. When we can start worshiping together, we can start sharing communion together. Then I want to encourage you to don't give up on it. It's important. Digital is important. The click is important, but the brick is also important of just meeting together physically somewhere. And I'd encourage you, don't give up on church. Don't be selfish. Don't just focus on me and making sure that you're okay. Focus on the bigger picture of church. No matter what church it is, connect in to a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled church. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for church. I thank you that it was ordained by you, that it was significant for us, and you've created it for a purpose. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us not to lose sight of why church is important, but to keep focusing on it and to keep remembering that it's your plan and your design. And Father God, for anyone out there who's been hurt and who wants to give up on church, Lord, can I pray right now, Lord, that you would touch them, that you will strengthen them, that you will help them to reconnect in again with your family. Help them to forgive where they need to be forgiven. Help them to release the hurt that needs to be released. And Father God, if anyone here just feels, Lord, that they just want to do it their own way, God, I pray that you will show them that there is strength in unity and they were not called to do this alone. Amen. Hope this has been helpful to you. Hopefully on our website, we're going to have some more resources. Just encourage you to read a bit more about what I've said. I've covered quite a lot today and just want to encourage you to keep thinking more about the subject of what is church and why bother. But I pray you have the most amazing day. Catch you soon.